Get your green on at Plants for All Seasons. From perennials and annuals to ground cover and grasses, their hand-chosen plants are second only to their support. Get even greener. Plants for All Seasons gardening classes are a fun way to learn something new for everyone, from beginning or master gardeners. Plants for All Seasons, 21328 Highway 249, just north of Louetta, and online at plantsforallseasons.com.
Let's get growing. Welcome to the Home Show Garden Pros. It's time for gardening and landscape tips and advice from Houston's leading garden and landscape experts. Now, here's Sandy Mosier with Sherry Hera from Plants for All Seasons.
Good morning. We have a line of callers. Welcome to the show. This is Home Show Garden Pros at Sports Radio 610-281-833-3333. And I'm here with Sherry Hera from Plants for All Seasons up on 249. Easy to find and a beautiful place to visit. We have got a line of callers here for you, Sherry.
Let's do it.
So, Janet, good morning. What do you have for Sherry?
Good morning. I have a couple of large pots of herbs that I planted last spring, and I've harvested from them all year. They're great. But the parsley has bolted. I also put arugula in a pot, and it did real well, and it has bolted.
Uh-huh.
Can I save those seeds and use them? And are the plants, can I continue to harvest the plants? How do I keep them going after they've bolted?
Oh, okay. Once they've bolted, then the next step is death. So harvest the seeds that you can get and plant them again in the fall. So like September, October, and then just come up with something else that you can plant in there that herb-wise that you would use, that you can use through the summer and into the fall. And then, like I said, replant your parsley and your arugula. Now, arugula you can keep propagating. You just have to harvest it really young before it has time to bolt through the heat. But it takes on a different flavor profile. It gets a little more bitter and less peppery, if that makes sense. So I would say go ahead and come up with your exit strategy. Start visiting the garden centers and figure out what herbs you can put in there through the warm months.
All right. That sounds great. Also, I wanted to tell you, Sherry, I bought a Ruby Falls, a red bud from you back in February, and it was a stick in a pot.
Uh-huh.
And I put it in the ground, and I followed the planting instructions, and it was a stick in the pot forever, and I thought for sure I've lost it. And then I called the garden show one Saturday, and they said to use Color Star. Well, I put Color Star on it, and it's got a bunch of beautiful burgundy purple leaves, and it's just the prettiest little thing.
That's awesome. It goes to show, you know, everything needs to eat, even your plants. So feed them. They're hungry, right?
Right. And thank you so much.
And
you
I'm bet. Glad you called in to get that hint so you didn't just give up on that stick.
Yes. Thank you for calling.
All right. Well, great call. Thank you, Janet. And we have Tina. Good morning, Tina.
Morning. I have two narrow flower beds that lead up to my front door, and it's a shaded area. And I wanted to know if you could recommend some hardy shade plants that would possibly work there.
Yeah, so without seeing it, I'm just kind of guessing, but dwarf yelp on hollies would be a great plant to line a walkway. They're low maintenance. They're easy. They can take the shade. They can take the sun. They can take a freeze. They can take a drought. So they're pretty good. Depending on the look you're going for, that would probably be the best recommendation. You could also, if it's like kind of dappled sun and shade, you could do some different ornamental grasses for a more cottagey look. It really just depends on the look you're going for. But if you just want something low maintenance and easy, that dwarf yaupon holly is going to be outstanding.
Okay. Anything with flowers that might...
So when we're talking hardy and flowers in the shade, there is a fashion azalea that you could do that I find to be very hardy. It's got a smaller leaf, and you can keep it hedged kind of like a boxwood. And it blooms heavy in the spring, and I'll always get like a second little fall bloom out of it. So you could do that, but you'll have to prepare the bed correctly with okay. good compost.
Compost, and then fertilize it at a certain time.
And how shady? Like, do you feel like it's deep shade, or does it get a little direct sun?
Maybe a very little, but there's something over it. Like, I don't know if it's the gutter area. It has quite a bit of shade.
Because in some cases, if you do get a little bit of sun, you could do something like a nandina, like a dwarf nandina. That gives you lots of color. Or a variegated dianella, which is grass. It's grassy looking. It's a type of flax lily. But that would give you a pop of white and green stripy leaves.
And then caladium.
Variegated dianella.
Dianella, our variegated flax lily is another name for it.
Flax lily.
That would be something that is really hardy and drought tolerant. Now, if you want just color and flower without being a shrub, you could do a combination of sun patience, terrania, and caladiums.
Sun patience, terrania?
Terrania. And caladiums. That would give you, or you know, a nice color punch. And you might do like a combination of all of the above.
Okay. Great. I really appreciate your help.
Yeah. And so find one of the Home Show Garden Pros that are nearest to you and take pictures in so they can kind of help you with the design process.
Okay.
Okay.
Great.
Well, you've got a good list there, Tina. Good luck on that. Let us know how it goes.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Thank you. This is Home Show Garden Pros at 281-833-3333, 281-833-3333. When we return, we will talk with Calvin.
For sod webworms, caterpillars, leaf miners, and fire ant problems, choose Monterey Lawn and Garden Organic Solutions. Monterey Garden Insect Spray contains spinosad, proven effective against sod webworms and fire ants. For your garden, choose Monterey BT to knock out hungry caterpillars and veggie pests without hurting bees, birds, and ladybugs. Monterey Lawn and Garden Solutions, available at your favorite Garden Pro nursery. For a beautiful lawn and garden, choose Monterey Lawn and Garden Products.
You're listening to the Home Show Garden Pros. Gardening help you want, answers you can trust from members of the Home Show Garden Pros Co-op.
Hi, it's Anita Nelson from Nelson Nursery and Water Gardens in Katy.
I'm Joey Linderman from Enchanted Nurseries and Landscapes in Richmond.
Connect with Home Show Garden Pros Co-op members anytime at homeshowgardenpros.com. Or call now at 281-833-3333.
Good morning, and thank you for listening to Home Show Garden Pros at Sports Radio 610, 281-833-3333. We so appreciate your calls and your listening, and I have learned so much. The calls have just been fabulous. So,
see, every day you learn something new.
Every day. And speaking of calls, we have Calvin on the line. Calvin, good morning. What do you have for Sherry?
Hi. Hello. Good morning. I have two tall pine trees in the front of the house. I guess they've been there about 30 years, and I've noticed they're dropping black pine needles. Mm-hmm. I had somebody come out. They said it was a fungus, and they sprayed like a fungus, maybe about 5 feet up, you know, the base of the tree. And they said they would come back in 9 months. So I was just kind of wondering if I was on the right track.
Okay. So when you say black pine needles, they're falling and they have black sooty stuff on them?
Yes.
Okay. So that sounds more insect to me, but you had an arborist come out and they diagnosed it with fungus is what I'm understanding.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I would, and are you seeing the black needle drop still?
Yes.
Okay. What part of town are you in?
Missouri City.
Okay. Who's down in Missouri City? Which one of the Home Show Gardeners?
Enchanted.
Enchanted. Okay. Mm-hmm. Go to Enchanted.
Either Forest or Gardens.
Forest or Gardens. Mm-hmm. And take some of what you're finding with the black sooty stuff to Danny or Joey at the Enchanteds, and let's get their eyes on it, because I feel like you might be dealing with an insect problem, but I'm not 100%.
They mentioned something about an insect possibly dropping poop or something along the branches or the trunk or something.
Yes, yes, so, that's what it sounds like to me. So the fungus that they treated for, I'm not sure what pathogen they're treating for, that they're just spraying the trunk. But I would think an arborist would do you right. When do you hit the 9-month point where they're supposed to come back out?
They just sprayed maybe about 2 or 3 weeks ago. So, okay.
So if it was mine, okay, and you were under the care of an arborist, I would proceed with that, but I would also take it up a notch. And around the drip line, now they're big trees, it sounds like, but I would still kind of give the drip line a little extra love with some microlife and some liquid seaweed. I think that'll help it get over what's ailing it.
Okay.
Along with the care of the arborist. Because they're there, okay. They physically saw it, and they diagnosed it and started treating you. So, but I would I would give those roots a little extra love, because that root and that soil is what's going to help it get over this problem.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You bet. Have a great day.
Thanks, Calvin.
Thank you.
Well, good morning. We have Greg on the line. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning. How are y'all this morning?
We are good.
Great. I have a question about lace bugs and azaleas.
Yeah.
I've got a pretty bad infestation.
Okay.
I trimmed them the other day, and I noticed even on the new on some of the newer buds that were coming out, I had the white you know, the white spots on the leaves. I was wondering if there was anything that wasn't just kill everything else that I could put on those to help with that.
Absolutely. So when I see a really bad infestation of lace bugs, I also see a plant that's just not thriving too. You can get lace bugs on a healthy plant, but it's just not as likely. So what we want to do is, we want to treat it with a systemic insecticide, but in a granular form, so you're not out there just spraying a bunch of chemicals. That's going to help stop the current infestation. And then what we want to do is we want to beef up the feeding of them with a slow-release organic nitrogen source that's acidifying. And my favorite, I talk about it all the time, Microlife Ultimate. They're done blooming now. Are they the regular azaleas, or are they Encore?
They're the regular.
Okay. Yeah, so it's time to feed them anyways. You've already done your pruning. So I would get that systemic insecticide and feed them at the same time. You'll reapply the fertilizer once a month for the next 3 months. The systemic, you should only have to do one time.
Okay, I have a question on the fertilizer. So I've already put down the Microlife acidifier. And I've heard you talk about the Ultimate. And I think I've even heard you say that you use the Ultimate on your azaleas. And I literally went in the other day and I went to buy it. And I was like, well, I should buy the Ultimate. And I wasn't sure. So
that's okay.
What's the Ultimate versus the
So what's acidifier? Different is if you look at the Ultimate in the container compared to the acidified looks like little pellets. The Ultimate has some pellets in it, but it's really fine. It's, to me, it's a little more faster acting. It's got a little bit different analysis as well. It's an 846 instead of a 624, but you can see the little sulfur pieces in the Ultimate. It's, I like to see all the different elements because then I know it's in there. But I feel like the Ultimate, I think the plants react faster because it's finer. It's ground up more. It's easier for the microbes to really start breaking it down. So I find it to be a little bit more instant, like you can really start seeing it faster. Where the acidified is a great product, but it takes a little longer to break down.
And on the yard, just keep, is there every reason to use the Ultimate on the yard, or just keep using the green?
So I do the Ultimate my first fertilization of the year, and I do it one time. One reason I only do it one time is it's expensive to be putting out in the grass, but that iron content in there is dynamite in the lawn. And I just showed Sandy a picture of my grass.
I'm so jealous. It's going to make you, I mean, it almost looks fake. It's thick. Yeah. It's fluffy. Yeah. I mean, you want to, it makes me want to go walk in her yard without my shoes on. I mean, you know, sit in it, and it's beautiful.
Well, what systemic granular should I try to find?
There's a bonide one called, it's just called systemic insecticide granule. It comes in 1 pound or 4 pound container. And you'll put it down according to the instructions. Put it down when you feed them. And you did the acidified, that's okay. You can use your acidified since you already own it. If you want to go get a small thing of Ultimate just to try it out, you could do that as well. But put the systemic down when you feed them because then it will pull it up faster. It's like the plant's eating and it's like sucking up all that good fertilizer. It will pull the systemic insecticide up faster.
And real fast, one more. How many times do I put the systemic out? Should I plan on that this summer?
No, I think you should. I think you should only have to do it one time. But let's do it, feed 3 months in a row, and then reassess and go, okay, well, all my leaves are clean. We look good. Or there's a few little spots. Let's hit it one more time. But that systemic should last you a good 2 to 3 months.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you all so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks, Greg.
Bye-bye.
This is Home Show Garden Pros. I'm here with Sherry Hera from Plants for All Seasons up on 249. You exit Louetta, easy to find. And we are going to jump out for a break. And when we come back, we will be talking to Terry.
Mulch is so key for keeping soil healthy. Mulch your trees and landscapes in April to protect them all summer long. Less water, healthier plants. It's the Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610.
Hi, I'm John Ferguson. I'm with Nature's Way Resources. And just want to invite you to come see our nursery. We're expanding our selection of native plants this year. And we've expanded our propagation area. We've been busy planting seeds and rooting cuttings all fall and winter. It's always a great time to revitalize your yard and garden. Several customers have stated how much better their tomatoes and veggies taste after they've been using revitalizer on them. We've been stocking up on our famous leaf mold compost, native mulches and soils. And, of course, we carry a full line of the MicroLife products. They're the only ones we use in the nursery. The nursery is children and pet friendly, so bring your dog or your children. Come see us and just have a good time and enjoy nature. Something else we've offered to our customers, we put an area under a bunch of beautiful shade trees. We've got over a dozen picnic tables that can seat 60, so we offer it to groups. If they want to come out and use it for a meeting, they're welcome to do so at no charge for any of the gardening groups.
Nature's Way Resources, we're located right off the intersection of FM 1488 and I-45. Go east on 1488, one block over the railroad track. You'll see a big sign, make a right turn, and you'll run into it. We have a 42-acre facility waiting there to serve you. We're open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday and currently 8 to 2 on Saturday. You can always keep up what's coming up in one dates and times on our Facebook page. And also, if you're not subscribing to our gardening newsletter, it's free, called The Lazy Gardener and Friends. You can go to the website, naturewayresources.com, and sign up for it. So come by and see us, and love to help you.
Good morning, and thanks for John Ferguson out at Nature's Way Resources. He is one of our Home Show Garden Pros that rotates through here. And yes, he has a beautiful place. Like all of our Home Show Garden Pros, they're all unique, and they're lovely to just walk around and get a good idea of, you know, what can I put in my lawn and maybe some things that I need to change or switch up. But the Home Show Garden Pros includes Nelson Nursery and Water Gardens, Plants for All Seasons, Enchanted Forest and Enchanted Gardens, and Nature's Way Resources. So they are a fabulous knowledge co-op that we have rotating through here to answer your calls and your questions and discuss whatever the hot topic is. And I know we've had a lot of calls this morning, great topics and subjects for us all to learn from. And we have Terry on the line right now. Good morning, Terry. What do you have for Sherry?
Good morning. How are y'all doing today?
Good.
Hey, I have two questions. The first question is, I just bought some more raised beds. They're 3 feet high. They're 4 feet by 8 feet. And what would be a good, okay, I got some pine straw that I'm just going to start filling them up with. Some neighbors have some pine straw I'm getting from them to put on the bottom of it on the inside. But is there a special type? In other words, I know I'm going to put some mulch and dirt, but is there just a base dirt I can fill these things up with? That's a lot of area.
Yeah, so you just want to fill it up just and then put your good soil at the top. Is that what you're wanting to do?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I have five of them. moisture, yeah, just a lot.
Okay. So you could do, I would just source carefully. Like if you're going to have it bulk loaded, like at your house in a dump truck,
yes, ma'am.
I would get like a planting mix. I wouldn't do straight topsoil, only because if you do topsoil in your vegetable garden at the bottom and there's any kind of weed seeds from Nutsedge in there, the Nutsedge will come up and it's hard to get out of a vegetable garden. So I would do something that's a little bit more composted, like a planting mix. And then fill that up a little more than halfway, and then get a good veggie and garden soil and compost at the top.
At the top, okay.
Okay.
These things are deep. They're 3 feet deep, and I can't wait. I'm so excited. They just came in. It took a month for them to come in.
Yeah, my husband had built me some just like that. Oh, they lasted me a good 10 years. They were cedar, and then Harvey took them out. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, and it was great because I didn't have to bend over at all.
That's the thing.
And that's the reason why I'm doing it. I have a lot of beds in my backyard, but I'm now going to these higher ones
because yeah,
this is going to be better for me.
Yeah, beautiful.
The second question is, I have a lot of roses planted, a lot of roses. And I bought and bought and bought and planted and planted and planted because of the aesthetic of it, the prettiness of how beautiful they are.
Yeah.
I thought some of them were really going to put off some really nice aroma, but they're not. Am I doing something wrong, or are they just some that just don't give off a lot of aroma?
Oh, there's a lot that just don't give off any aroma, and there's some that say they're highly fragrant, but you have to really sniff them. So my Belinda's Dream, I don't know if you're familiar with that one.
Not at all.
Belinda's Dream is a Texas A&M superstar.
Whoop!
Okay. And she's a beautiful shrub rose.
Okay.
I probably had 30 or 40 blooms on mine at one time. High petal count, huge flowers, very highly fragrant. So you just need to be a little more selective with who you put in there.
Okay.
But
well, I bought some long stem roses also because I always was told that they have a lot of fragrance, but mine are popping up and they're good.
Yeah, not all of them do. Now, give them the best chance to emit fragrance and intensify colors by feeding them correctly. So sometimes you'll have a beautiful flower with no fragrance because we don't have a good mineral content. And I know that sounds crazy, but it's called a Brix level. And that's going to intensify your flavor profile on your fruits and vegetables and your fragrance profile on your smelly plants.
Okay.
So,
yes, ma'am. Yeah, because what we're covering right now is my jasmine, my star jasmine. And of course, that's just going through the yard like crazy.
Yes.
I'm not for sure my roses. My little girl came over and spent some time with me this coming weekend, and she goes, "Dad, these don't even have any aroma at all." I said, "Okay."
Yeah, you got to step up your game, Dad.
Yeah, I guess. Thank y'all so much. I always enjoy your show.
Thank you. Thanks
good.
For listening.
Have a good day. Oh, that's great information about the roses. And you're right, feeding, that has come up with our grasses, with our trees.
Yeah, I don't think people realize how important nutrition is on our plants. I mean, just like for us, it's very important on our plants. And I think a lot of people don't think of plants as living beings that have special needs.
Right.
And they do.
Right.
They have certain nutrient-specific needs.
Right.
And we need to provide that. You know, they need to eat too.
Right.
And they don't want to eat the same thing every time, just like you don't.
Right. And it's just like you had mentioned earlier, you know, watering. Oh my gosh, you know, the answer is not always watering, and sometimes it's less.
Yeah.
But we talked a lot about food today, and that's important.
Uh-huh.
And the right food, like
the
you
right
said.
Foods, yeah. I mean, you can do your microlife for everything. Right? But sometimes a plant might not react the way, you know, it looks good, but there's just something off, and we might need to go a little more species specific, meaning you may need a hibiscus food or you may need an azalea food.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean load your garage up with all the different things and make it really complicated.
Right.
But if something is just not functioning
yeah.
to its optimal potential, then we need to tweak it out a bit.
Right, right. So add those to our shelves. Mm-hmm. And they're handy to have when you find something that you're like, oop, I've got that in the garage. I need to add that to my plants.
Yep.
This is Home Show Garden Pros at Sports Radio 610 with Sherry Hera from Plants for All Seasons. She has had some great information to share with our callers. And when we return, we will talk with Larry.
Mike Ball knows irrigation.
Over 30 years.
He looks at yards, sees issues like underwatering,
dead zones, yellowing, sick trees,
overwatering,
brown patch, weeds, root rot.
Find the healthy balance with Mike Ball Irrigation, Landscaping and Lighting.
Hi, it's Mike. We design and install water-conserving irrigation systems, reducing water waste by 30%, delivering healthier yards and gardens.
Invite Mike Ball Irrigation to review your system.
It's easy, and you'll love the difference.
MikeBallIrrigation.com.
Welcome back to the Home Show Garden Pros.
You are listening to Home Show Garden Pros at 281-833-3333. 281-833-3333. Give us a call and let's chat about your lawn and landscaping. But right now we have Mike Sarant from MicroLife on the phone with us. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. We've got a question for you. What's a good way to convert my lawn that I've been using synthetic materials on to a healthier organic lawn?
Number one, don't ever use synthetic fertilizers or pesticides ever again. Two, do a dual application of MicroLife Humate Plus and MicroLife Green Bag 624.
How long is that process going to take for my lawn to begin to love that organic material, the 624, and become healthier and greener?
Well, the soil, plant, and human body all start healing immediately, so you will get healing right away. It may take a couple weeks for the MicroLife to kick in, and if the yard has been very seriously degraded, it may take a few weeks, but stay on the program. Natural law and biology wins. You will be successful.
How often should I be watering my lawn?
Well, MicroLife will never burn like chemical fertilizers, but water does activate the probiotics or the microorganisms that are in there and helps melt the pellets that will go down and feed the soil and the plants. So I would just do a normal, good watering after you apply, and then we'll get our spring rains, and there you go.
Mike, it was great having you on this morning. Call anytime, and we love our chats with you, so thanks very much for being with us.
Sandy, it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, I love me some Mike Sarant. Always good information. And he's like one of those people that you talk to and you just feel better about the world every time, right?
That we're going to fix it all.
Yes, yes. But right now, we're going to just fix what we can fix. And we have Larry on the phone. Larry, what's your question?
Okay, I got a couple. So my amaryllis have bloomed, and now there's these great big stalks, and they're forming seeds.
Uh-huh.
So will the seeds, can I get these to grow? Will they grow? What can I do with the seeds to make the amaryllis, to make them grow?
So this is my thing. They're hard to propagate from seed. So I never try to go that route. I'll let them just kind of naturally wither on the plant. And once they turn brown and that stalk starts to turn brown, I'll cut it off. They really propagate best, you know, that once the flower gets pollinated and that seed gets pollinated from the bees when it's blooming, then it sends energy down to that bulb. And that bulb will propagate and make another bulb next year. So I've never propagated them from seed. I'm not sure how successful that is, but it's not common. So I would, once it starts to wither down, just go ahead and cut that back. And then what you can do is, once the whole foliage withers at the end of the season, is you can pull it out of the ground and separate your bulbs, because there will be more bulbs down there.
How do you define end of the season?
So once all your foliage, when I'm not just talking the bloom spike, but I'm talking the foliage. So your foliage will stay green, and then at the end of the season, the end of the year. So in the fall, once your foliage starts to wither down, then you can dig them out and separate them.
Okay.
Yep.
So I should leave the stalks on there with the seeds.
Yeah.
Could I could I cut those stalks off?
Yeah, once they start to kind of look ratty and brown on the top, once the seed kind of starts to look, you know, all your flower petals fall off and then you're just left with that ugly seed head, then you can go ahead and cut that back.
Okay, so when I've done it before, it's been a while, but the stalks are hollow and they can hold water easily. Should I just cut them as close as I can to the ground?
Yep, you got it.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And then can Christmas cactus be propagated from just cuttings?
Yes, very easily.
Okay. And you've mentioned pine straw. You talked to a caller about pine straw. Is that just pine needles?
Yes, pine needles. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, and they don't. Nothing needs to be done to them to make them just mash them together and use them on the ground. There.
Just put a thick layer, and then what they'll do is they'll kind of mat down to keep weeds out.
I need that kind of help.
Yes, that's the best mulch there really is. I don't like the way it looks on my front flower beds, but I'll use it on my back garden beds, and it keeps the weeds out like nothing else.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for calling, Larry.
Thanks for that reminder about the pine straw.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's a good tactic. You know, use it in the back.
Yeah. You know, you go to Florida when you go on vacation, or Alabama or Mississippi, mm-hmm. and they use tons of pine straw, but they live in the pine, right?
Yeah.
And
right.
so it's just what's become the aesthetic down there.
Right.
And every time I go on vacation there, I'm like, oh, I should do that.
Oh, that's
but
right.
it would look weird unless you can get several people. Maybe I'll be a trendsetter. but I really just like that dark mulch in the front. Just
right.
sets everything off.
Right.
So I just haven't converted completely.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, it is the best weed deterrent there is.
That's great. Well, yeah. I think you're a trendsetter because from the looks of that front yard, oh my goodness, I can imagine that you are raising the bar.
Yeah, it is beautiful, I have to say. I will toot my own horn.
Well, you should. Maybe we should post your front yard.
We certainly can do that.
Yeah, and then we can tell people how you did it,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it is possible. This is Home Show Garden Pros at Sports Radio 610 281-833-3333. It's an easy number. And when we return, we'll talk with Todd.
For sod webworms, caterpillars, leaf miners, and fire ant problems, choose Monterey Lawn and Garden Organic Solutions. Monterey Garden Insect Spray contains spinosad, proven effective against sod webworms and fire ants. For your garden, choose Monterey BT to knock out hungry caterpillars and veggie pests without hurting bees, birds, and ladybugs. Monterey Lawn and Garden Solutions, available at your favorite Garden Pro nursery. For a beautiful lawn and garden, choose Monterey Lawn and Garden products.
Apricot, coral, peach, and pink.
Just a few of their delicious colors.
Blooming again and again.
Now through fall.
Easy growing, sun loving.
Part ground cover, part miniature rose bush.
Drift roses, you'll love them.
Easy to maintain.
For spaces big and small.
Group or mix them with shrubs, perennials.
Just part of what's waiting for you.
At Nelson's Nursery.
And Water Gardens.
NelsonWaterGardens.com.
Helping you grow like a pro.
Just north of I-10 on Katy Fort Bend Road.
Bush veggies are usually very fast to get fruit from seed. Green beans, summer squash, zucchini are all great options. No trellis needed. It's the Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610.
Welcome back to Home Show Garden Pros on Sports Radio 610. We want to talk about landscaper's pride. We have Jenny Saucier on the phone with us to answer a few questions. Jenny, tell me about that locally sourced raw materials.
I'm going to say 90% of the bark, the wood that comes into our facility, is sourced within 50 miles of us. So it's all local. It's all in Texas. The general exceptions to that would be if we were sourcing cedar logs or cypress logs, because we actually grind up whole logs for that premium mulch versus just using byproduct and waste wood, which is a perk to ours. It makes it more premium. And then when it comes to our amendments, we try to buy as much fertilizer or amendments that are made in Texas as possible. Of course, not all of it's possible. Some of it comes from out of state, but as much as we can source in Texas and within 50 miles, we try to do.
Putting things that are natural to our environment in our lawns is just going to be that much more helpful.
Yeah, and the owners of Landscapers Pride, just the general management, they're adamantly against recycled wood in the sense of we don't grind up pallets, we don't grind up dimensional lumber, anything like that. All of ours is pure wood sources, which is another perk of naturally organic that we start with.
Jenny, do you have a website you want to share?
It is landscaperspride.com. We've got a few very awesome features on there, such as a store locator where you can find our products, and then also a mulch calculator that you can use before you head out so you know how much mulch to buy.
Thank you very much, Jenny.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, I'm so excited. I get to go visit Jenny this week at Landscapers Pride.
I am so jealous.
I know.
I love me some Jenny, and I love me some Landscapers Pride.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll come back with some more information I can share, but yeah. I'm sure not as much information as our Home Show Garden Pros, you included, can
hey,
share.
Hey, you're getting there.
I'm excited about that visit. We have got Todd on the line. Todd, good morning.
Good morning. I have a quick question about knockout roses.
Mm-hmm.
I planted about 8 of them about 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. and they just don't look very. They just don't look good.
Okay.
And wondering what I need to fertilize. I thought I did all the steps right.
Okay. When you say they don't look good, what are you seeing?
So I do have of course, they do have some. They do have some blooms on them.
Okay.
But a lot of brown stems.
Okay.
And wilting wheat leaves. And,
okay.
Some look really good. Some don't.
Okay. And so you planted them, and you gave them some food. What did you feed them with?
So when I planted them, I just used some leaf compost.
Okay.
Down at the bottom, and gave them a good watering at the very beginning, and then they've just been kind of going on my sprinkler cycle.
Okay.
It's about every 3 days.
And that is where the issue is. So
yep.
We have newly planted knockout roses with a nice root ball, right? And you planted mm-hmm. them, you watered them, and then the sprinkler's hitting them every 3 days, but we've been very windy and very dry. Yes, we've gotten one day of rain, I think, in that time frame. And so a newly planted plant has a small area of roots, okay? So that sprinkler system, when it's hitting it, is not penetrating but just maybe a top inch of the soil, which is just not deep enough to access all of those roots who are in a little ball. They have not branched out yet. So I think it's just a simple bump up your water just a tad with your hose once, maybe once or twice a week until we feel like they have kind of come out of that funk. But when we have brown and yellow leaves and wilting and they just don't look good and they're newly planted, it's always a water issue. And the reason I know it's not enough is just because the sprinkler system is not enough in the first probably month or so on our knockout roses, or on pretty much anything. We've got to do a little supplemental watering just to get them going.
What do you fertilize those with? What would you use?
So there's not a once in, like, that you have to use this, but I love the MicroLife Ultimate. I also like Nelson's Rose Food. So I'll alternate from time to time just to diversify what microbes I'm feeding. And so if you've, what did you use? You haven't used food. You just used leaf mold compost, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So what I would do right now, because they're struggling, I would hit them with just some liquid seaweed as a root stimulator and just bump up that water just a tad. And when I say bump up the water, don't bump up the sprinkler system. Just get out and do some hose watering.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, they should turn around pretty quick for you.
Oh, yay.
Awesome. Thank you.
You bet.
Thanks.
Have a good day.
Thanks for the call, Todd. And this is Home Show Garden Pros at 281-833-3333. We will return after this.
Let your senses transport you to a peaceful hideaway where beauty and tranquility are waiting for you. Enchanted nurseries and landscaping in Richmond. Striking display gardens, plants, shrubs, and trees accompanied by the sights and sounds of fountains, chimes, and whimsical garden art. Enchanted Forest on FM 2759 and Enchanted Gardens on FM 359. For three generations, family-owned, family-run, sharing their gardening passions, helping you find yours. Enchanted Nurseries and Landscaping. Discover them online at myenchanted.com.
Get more from your gardening. The Home Show Garden Pros are here to help with advice and tools they trust to keep things green.
Landscaper's Pride Mulches and Soils. Premium quality and locally sourced. Let's grow together.
For a beautiful lawn and garden with less time and effort, use Monterey Lawn and Garden Products.
Call the Home Show Garden Pros now, 281-833-3333.
Good morning. I am here with Sherry Hara with Plants for All Seasons. She is our Home Show Garden Pro these couple of hours, and she has just been a world of information for so many, a variety of calls, and I've taken notes on what I need to be doing in my garden and watching in my garden. And Sherry, people can also send questions in on the homeshowgardenpros.com, mm-hmm. and they can send in pictures. And at the break, I showed you a few pictures. We've got about three questions on tomatoes. Mm-hmm. So I kind of want to combine those, and maybe you can give us some hints on what to do. One picture I showed you, it looked like the leaves were sort of yellow and green. Another picture, they were almost wilted.
Yeah.
And that was from James and Nancy and CD, the same thing as they, they've all got tomato questions.
So there's so many different reactions that tomatoes have, right? And all three of those pictures, you know, two of them,
Just two.
One of them, simple nutrition. Okay. And if we don't get them fed and recovered really quick, disease is going to set in.
The one that is
completely wilted, it's kind of been speaking for a while through the color of the leaves that it was hungry and it needed food, and then ultimately disease set in. I don't know if that one is salvageable. So we always need to give our plants the best opportunity to thrive through nutrition and good compost. Okay.
Yeah.
If we let disease or if we let nutrition slip long enough, disease will set in.
Okay.
Certain varieties are more disease tolerant. However, I can tell you most of the varieties that you can buy at the stores or even seed packets anymore are hardier, more disease resistant varieties. So it's not likely that they just bought a variety that was susceptible to disease. When I look at those pictures and I see the light green leaves, mm-hmm. those plants have been hungry for a while.
Okay.
Okay. So the one that was not as wilted is salvageable. The one that is completely wilted, it's iffy. Okay?
Big question, right?
We need to feed our plants. They have to eat. And if you're growing vegetables for your consumption, you want them to be the healthiest they can be.
Right.
Right? You're trying to get healthy food off of them. That doesn't mean you have to break the bank to feed them, but we actually have to feed them.
Yeah.
So we need to use, now, not just compost. Don't just use compost. We need to use something that has good minerals in it. So MicroLife is always my go-to. Or use something that says tomatoes and vegetables on it. If we're doing raised bed gardening, we need to feed more often than the label actually says, because the nutrients are mobile in water. So when you water a plant, nutrients will continue to move through the soil. So the nutrients that aren't used by the plants are now moving to the bottom of that
out.
And out, right?
Right.
So we need to replenish that from time to time. So I think that's the number one key to controlling disease in our vegetable gardens is feeding. So MicroLife Ultimate, liquid seaweed. Let's see if we can get those plants to recover. I wouldn't have a lot of faith in that second one because it was very wilted and very yellow.
He's just going to have to start over on the next planting for a tomato.
He may. You know, he might try to salvage it, and great if you can. But
right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So start off good with your compost and your feeding and mm-hmm. just stay on top of it. Mm-hmm. Now, one question about the MicroLife food for the tomato and veggie plants. Is there a specific?
I just use the Ultimate. You okay. can use any of them. I just use the Ultimate because it's a little more reactive. And okay. then I always water it in with the liquid seaweed.
I love liquid seaweed yeah, because you get results like, quickly.
It does so many magical things.
Right. Well, the Ultimate sounds like something good to have on our shelf because we've talked a lot about it today mm-hmm. for different issues. So.
Yep.
This is Home Show Garden Pros at Sports Radio 610. And we are at 281-833-3333. We will return after this.
Growing healthier plants is easier when you add Nature's Way Resources Remineralizer. A blend of special Texas mineral-rich sands, Nature's Way Remineralizer provides crucial elements and minerals craved by plants and missing from our Gulf Coast soil. Your garden, yard, and trees will grow stronger, healthier, and resistant to pests. Here's the best part. Your harvest will be more nutritious and delicious. Find Nature's Way Remineralizer at leading garden centers. There's a location near you at natureswayresources.com.
Now back to answering your gardening questions with the Home Show Garden Pros.
Good morning. This is Home Show Garden Pros at Sports Radio 610. I am here with Sherry Hera from Plants for All Seasons up on 249. And we have got, I think, almost our last caller, Maureen. Maureen is on the line. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, ladies. I have just one question.
Perfect. Because
I would like to put in a section, and this is a different house for me. I used to grow a plant called begonias, and I did very well, and, you know, just kept replanting them each year. But now I'm in a different house, and I thought I would start out slowly. And so it's either Reiger or Rieger begonia. Mm-hmm. It's very large flowers, and I would love to hope I could take good care of it. I think I was using something called BR61
uh-huh.
for my food. And so I'm thinking of not putting these directly into my garden, but maybe into a, I don't know, not a very large planter.
Okay.
Maybe something like 16 inches. But I don't know about the soil.
Okay.
So.
Okay. And I'm going to have to be quick with this because we're on a time crunch here. Okay. So yeah. You can grow the Reiger begonias in a super shaded area. They can take a little bit of sun right now, but as we warm up, they've got to go in more shade. Okay. Use a potting soil. My favorite is like the Happy Frog or the Ocean Harvest by Fox Farm. Those are fabulous soils, especially for something as special as the Reiger begonia. And then use your BR61. On a probably every 2 to 3 weeks alternation. Okay?
Thank you so much.
You got it. Have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That I always enjoy talking with Maureen. She's got a beautiful backyard, it uh-huh. sounds like. I almost would like to have her to
send us some pictures, right?
Yeah, send pictures and give us some updates on those. So thanks for the call. And Fox Farm, that's a great product.
Uh-huh.
Healthy for our...
Yeah, just remember, if you're doing container gardens and you're in a pot, use a potting soil. They are engineered or designed, developed to be in a pot, and they don't keep decomposing.
Right, right.
Okay?
Right. Well, we have had a great show here with Sherry from mm-hmm. Plants for All Seasons, and something that we saw a lot of, we heard a lot of questions about leaves and colors of leaves and that sort of thing. And mm-hmm. I have one more question about a hibiscus.
Okay.
That wrote in a gentleman. Oh, Ruth. Ruth wrote in about a hibiscus in her pot, and she had the yellow dropping leaves.
Yeah.
So at this point, what mm-hmm. should she be doing?
So yellow leaves on a hibiscus are always a signal of stress. Now, we just have to – the stress could be too much water. It could be not enough. Most likely, it's a not enough water with as windy as we've been if it's in a pot.
Okay.
Okay? So it's always a stress response. So we want to go ahead and figure out which way we need to swing the water. Get a hibiscus food. That is one food yes. that you have to have in your arsenal. If you have hibiscus, only use hibiscus food on them. Water it in with seaweed. Those leaves should flush out. Just make sure that we get the watering right on them.
Okay.
They like a well-drained soil. They like moisture, but they like it to drain off really quick. And so if it dried out too much, you'll get those bright yellow leaves.
Okay. Well, and that's great to know that they are picky about what they eat.
Mm-hmm.
So hibiscus
food. Yes, if you use a regular blooming plant food on them, that will lock up their bloom cycle. So something for hibiscus that has a low middle number.
Okay. All right. Well, Sherry has been here with us from Plants for All Seasons, mm-hmm. and thank you so much for being here these few hours.
You bet.
I had mentioned to Sherry that I love visiting her sister. She
yes.
is quite talented. And when you look on your website, you talk about this pot to trot,
yes.
which is adorable. That's a mm-hmm. great phrase. But I have three pots I'm going to have Kelly make beautiful for me. I can do it, but not like Kelly can do it.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. So, you know, every once in a while, I just need a little creativity, you know, inspiration.
Uh-huh.
So I'll be visiting her to do that. And you can buy pots there and have her fill
yeah.
them, or you can bring them to her and have her create something beautiful.
Yeah. Kelly and Liz do an amazing job.
Like Liz,
yes, they are so talented. In that container, it's too confined of a space for me. But they put things together that you would have never. They see colors and textures and growth habits in a way that I've never looked at things.
Right. And they're basically just going to ask you, is it sun or is it shade? And,
uh-huh. and what colors do you like? And what's
right.
your budget?
Right.
And let them go to town.
Yeah. And I just say, you know, do something creative, which, it's what they do.
You got it.
So your place is beautiful.
Well, thank you.
And I love the way you have it organized.
Thanks.
I also want to, I touched on earlier when I was chatting between segments,
uh-huh.
we were chatting, and I also want to guide people to, you've got a calendar
uh-huh.
on your website about sort of taking your lawn organic.
Yeah.
So you may want to check that out and look at that, because it's really, it gives you month to month that, okay, here's
yeah.
how we do that.
And it's a jump start
yeah.
to an organic, because if you've tried organic in the past and you've been like, I just wasted my money.
Uh-huh.
You've really got to up your microbe game. And
mm-hmm.
so the jump start will start that process
yeah.
to get you to the point where then you can just follow a regular organic fertilization schedule.
Yeah. Well, I love that calendar. Thank you for posting that on there for us. So that's on her website. And if you need to get to her website, you can go to
www.plantsforallseasons.com.
Right. And if you want to go to any of the other websites, you can go to homeshowradio.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we have links to all of our Home Show Garden pros.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved, I think Mary from Nelson's Nursery and Water Garden mentioned that next weekend is Mother's Day.
Uh-huh.
So go and visit one of our Home Show Garden pros. And if you don't want to buy a plant, I know probably all of them, I know you have gift cards that
yes.
you can give to your mom, grandmother,
and your
mother-in-law.
Mom may just love a container of MicroLife. You
right.
never know.
Right.
I know I would like that.
Right. But if you're not sure, get her a gift card.
Yeah.
And then she can wander around there. So I have so enjoyed having you here, Sherry. Have a great afternoon at the shop. Everybody go out and enjoy the weather.
Yes.
And this has been Home Show Garden Pros at Sports Radio 610.
You could spend your whole weekend slogging through that to-do list of chores at home.
Ah!
Or you could go from to-do to done like a boss. Get the help it takes from Houston's go-to guy for the sport of home improvements, Tom Tynan on Home Show Radio.
I listen to your show forever. God bless.
Coming up next after the Home Show Garden Pros.
And anytime you want.
At homeshowradio.com. Pros you can trust. Tips, advice, videos, and the Home Show podcast. Always on.
Always free.
homeshowradio.com.
Stay tuned. Home Show Radio will return shortly.